Good day, Internet.
Okay.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Well, and a pleasant day to you too, Justin Robert Young.
Yes, a good day, Internet. Wait, I might have screwed up. Did I need to record now too?
No. You're going to record when the show. This is just a pre-show.
Gotcha. Good day, Internet.
I say good day.
I say good day, sir.
Tom, a million times better.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so, when you connect at Scott Johnson's house, Delta Sky Lounge, an airplane Wi-Fi, and then add another one, sometimes networks get
a little confuddled.
Yeah. It can happen.
So you are in, Tom, tell us, you've been on a whirlwind tour of the U.S.
Yeah, I left Salt Lake City this morning and just landed at Lambert Field in St. Louis.
All right.
Just about 2 hours ago now. And thankfully, through the kind offices of John Schmerald of Katie Computer Systems in Chesterfield, Missouri, I've got a place to do the show.
Excellent.
Yeah. Just hop down the road too. It was real quick to get here.
He literally just skipped and hopped.
Yes, I didn't even use a car.
From Salt Lake City, that's amazing.
Yeah, right.
Just imagine a scene from The Wiz, except instead of Diana Ross and Michael Jackson, and I forgot who the other two actors were.
He's just gone down the road. Yeah.
I've never seen The Wiz. I know. I know. I've seen The Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. 4,000 times.
Source material for the Wiz.
I don't know why I never saw it.
It was like a special,
I was a Michael Jackson fan.
Other month.
Where?
Like just on broadcast TV. It was like on broadcast TV.
Yeah. As I mentioned, I watched a lot of PBS probably longer than other kids.
Right.
Why is this so
hard?
See. Oh, I need to get to the chat room. Join le chat. Hashtag
le chat.
Le chat. Sava.
Folks, if you're not a member of Patreon at the $5 level and you didn't get a chance to read Sarah Lane's column today, It's worth joining right now just to see the picture of Otis.
And I thought you were going to say, it was because of what such a great writer I am.
Well, that's the bonus, right? You also get this amazing column, which is really good.
Nah, I'm kidding. It's a really cute photo. If you like animals, please check it out.
Yeah. And then read the column.
I don't think you'll be disappointed. And if you are, I want to know what your life is like.
Please write your complaint down on a piece of paper and throw it in the trash.
That's how we get your complaints.
Because you're unreasonable and we have no time for you.
That's our complaint delivery system now.
It's both that and you are ridiculous.
You know, if you made a Patreon level, it would have to be a pretty high Patreon level, but you could set up a pneumatic tube, major city locations that would just send us stuff directly. Yeah,
that would have to be pretty high. You're right.
Yeah.
Some of them would be pretty high.
Yeah.
That's,
and for this tier, we will partner with SpaceX.
The boring company.
And we'll bore through the country, and you can send us up to a shoebox sized package.
Amazing.
Well, I told you guys as we were signing off of our bonus episode that we recorded yesterday after the regular DTNS and Good Day Internet that I had my first obedience training meeting for my dog.
Yep.
I know. This is not interesting.
We train humans and rehabilitate people.
Dog people might be like, oh, yeah, I've done that
rehabilitate
before.
Dogs.
It was tiring.
Really?
For all of us.
Okay. That's a good sign, though.
Yeah.
The best ones I've ever been involved with. I'm kind of tired at the end because you work.
It's almost like when you're trying to speak a foreign language, and after 8 hours of it, you're like, I don't know, my brain is just I'm kind of done with it.
You kind of are. That's a really good comparison.
Yeah.
You're trying to think like a dog.
Yeah, you could kind of see Otis just being like, I don't want to do this anymore. Really, like, I know what you want and I'll do it, but I don't want to do it anymore.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
It's good stuff.
So how often are you doing those?
Well, this was just a one-off. Okay. She lives really close by and mm-hmm. was highly recommended by the rescue org that I have mm-hmm. been working with, and she was awesome. So yeah, she kind of said, I'm going to give you some skills, mm-hmm. You know, kind of leash training and, you know, certain things about being on your bed and not getting jealous and, you know, dog stuff.
Yep.
And if you want to follow up, you let me know. And I said, okay. Great. And I think I probably will. I will want that. We're out of the woods just yet.
My watch says I'm still in Salt Lake City. That's weird.
How do I disable the audio notifications in
Discord?
Discord? Yeah. Are there notifications?
I should not hold my hands like that because, man, I look monstrous once we start the video.
Let's see. Oh,
I just happened to be like this when I was talking. I was like, oh, yeah.
I know. It's like all these different angles we've been having lately. But, you know, I'm glad that Roger and Justin didn't pay attention to the memo to wear plaid today. But Mom and I are, you know, in accord.
There was a what happened to Justin's audio?
It's because there's something going on with Roger's Discord, and Justin always dips when.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Literally trying
sounds
to
like a great that. Conversation.
Roger, are you the one doing the bleeps?
Yeah. He's trying to turn it off.
I'm trying to turn it off, but there's no one switch that says turn off audio notifications. There's just ones for each message. Like for
someone in Discord in the general channel, give Roger the lowdown on turning off audio notifications.
Yes.
Because I don't think I think it must be in a different place or something. I've turned it off, but I don't remember where I went to do it. But you were saying, Justin.
Wait, what was I saying again?
Sarah said something about angles.
Plaid.
She said something about you not wearing.
I screwed up. I screwed up in not wearing plaid, and I regret my decision. And I will risk expulsion from the Senate for not wearing plaid.
I was in the. I was at the airport in the Delta place, and there was another guy with the exact same shirt on, and we just looked at each other like, you know what, we're gonna pretend we don't see each other. I'm like, cool. I'm good with that.
And that's why I mean, I don't know. It's really tough, which is why I just buy shirts off Threadless and wear those.
it's tough to what? Not have the same shirt as somebody else?
Like especially for guys, because they seem to reuse a lot of the same patterns like 20 years later.
This is not something that women talk about. They always wear the same types of shirts. You know, like if you like the shirt, wear the shirt.
Let me ask you, if you, as a woman, and you went into and you ran into someone who wore the exact same top as you, would you say like, yeah, that's cool, or maybe I should change, or no, maybe they should change, or I should have bought something else?
Well, you know, it's funny. When I worked at TechCrunch, one of the reporters, won't even mention who, there are a lot of them there, so whatever. She and I, it was like an event of some kind where, you know, you kind of wear a dress type thing and for the company. And we showed up in the same dress, you know, and I'm like, I know where you got that. And I was kind of like, high five. And she was mortified. She was not happy about it at all. You know, where I'm like, I can see it both ways. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, we can't go home and change.
You can be mortified.
I have a similar story. A friend of mine had a house party, right? Not even like, this wasn't a big event. Like, we're in our mid to late 20s, right? So it's like a little bit more of an adult house party, but it's for New Year's. And when I first started seeing Ashley, and Ashley flew down from Ohio and was going to this party with me. And the hostess of the party, just her face drains when Ashley walks in because not wearing her dress, but wearing her backup dress that she had in case somebody wore the dress that she was wearing.
Oh, no.
And she was then panicked because now if somebody it was
right. There was no plan C had not been thought of. Yeah.
She liked and they were both prepped and ready to go and her backup was taken out. And so she was just I don't want to say it ruined her night. I think she had 10% less of a good time because that came in the door.
I feel like it's very rare, unless for some reason, I don't know, something weird happened and I had to borrow a friend's dress and I wasn't comfortable. If I'm wearing a dress, I like it. So if you're wearing the same dress, then I like your style. I don't see why it's like a bad thing. I don't see why it's embarrassing for people.
You wouldn't want to lock horns with that other person, say.
Well, I would.
Change. No, I don't know. I don't know why it matters. Like, we're not going to look the same. We're not twins.
I would wonder if it's a self-esteem thing that like somebody would look better.
Maybe.
Or that it inherently invites judgment.
Maybe. Right. Yeah. Or yeah. Somehow your individuality is called into question or something.
Yeah.
Nothing can be done to fix this. My individuality has been besmirched.
I'm like, hey, man, I'm shopping at the mall. It's going to happen.
Well, I mean,
what are you going to do? They made more than one of these.
Right. Are a live version of who wore it better, right?
Right. Yeah, I guess so.
Version of that.
Oh, I see you worked out, so you're more defined, therefore you. The like, cloth drapes on
nice,
you.
Nice, but better. Wow, if you worked out like that guy.
All right. You guys about ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to start recording. Sarah, could you do the line three read?
Actually,
I absolutely can.
So Justin's also going to record. So Sarah, if you could just give a short countdown. So Tom and Justin.
Tom, can you talk again?
Yeah, I can talk all the time.
Okay. Because your video went to crap for me again. Just now, like just in the last like couple seconds.
Let me see.
Say something, Tom.
Yes, I'm saying something. Hello.
Right. Your audio sounds fine.
Audio's fine.
Right.
Video's right. Just a little choppy, but right. Audio sounds good.
Let's just get the show on the road then.
Let's do it. All right. I'll count myself in from 5, 4, 3, 2. Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/supports.
This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, September 6, 2018, in Chesterfield, Missouri. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Oakland, California, I'm Justin Robert Young.
And Roger.
I'm so...
It's new. It's new. I know. You got a lot
I'm the producer, mind. Roger Chang. Thank you.
I think that's John Merrill of Katie Computer Systems in Chesterfield, who's letting me set up here in his office and do the show today. It's very kind of him. He's got a wedding going on this weekend that he's got to get to, but he was nice enough to let me be here and use the studio so I could be on the show today. Great things to talk about. So let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Dell's second quarter earnings reported revenue up 18% to $22.9 billion and adjusted earnings up 13% to $2.46 billion. For fiscal 2019, Dell's looking ahead, says it looks pretty good, expects adjusted revenue of as much as $92 billion and adjusted net income of as much as $5.3 billion. You might recall that Dell is looking to return to the public market 5 years after the company took itself private.
Microsoft announced a new Xbox skill for Cortana and Amazon Alexa, letting users that have either a Cortana or Alexa-enabled device control their Xbox One with their voice. Skills will include turning off the console, or on, I guess, with their voice, launching games, apps, and controlling media playback. Microsoft is also partnering with Amazon to integrate Alexa into Cortana and vice versa.
Apple's got an event coming up September 12th. You may not have realized that if you don't read the internet. It's only 1 week away. Sources tell a 9 to 5 Mac, hey, you know how everybody's been saying that it's going to be called the iPhone XS? Well, the 6.5-inch version that is rumored to be coming out is going to be called the iPhone XS Max. Great thing about these kinds of rumors is we can plan all of our funny puns ahead of time. Apple also rumored to unveil not only the iPhone XS and XS Max, but a smaller midsize LCD version that'll cost less and an Apple Watch Series 4. All right, let's talk a little bit more about the idea of cryptocurrency as a government currency.
Yeah, the Reserve Bank of India has formed an interdepartmental group to study the idea of introducing a form of flat digital currency as a replacement for paper notes. Last year, Dubai introduced a state-backed cryptocurrency called Mcash. Russia, Iran, Venezuela, and Israel have also experimented with state-backed crypto.
This is one of the most interesting things to me because countries are both afraid and tentatively wanting to embrace cryptocurrency. That there's a lot of the same countries developing cryptocurrency that are also shutting it down. For instance, India, where they have forbid financial institutions from trading in cryptocurrency. But they're also thinking, well, maybe that would be a good thing for us to do.
Well, there are two elements to it. Number one, the coolest thing about cryptocurrency, in my opinion, is the concept of money without state backing. And yet, cryptocurrency is so easy to do relative to, you know, starting your own state-backed currency that why not? Why not try? And if you are a nation, then, and we are still in a infancy for this world, I think the idea of getting over-leveraged in a cryptocurrency and then having it be worthless is a much bigger fear than creating something that at least you'll know as long as you're backing it, it will be there.
You know, it's you know, it, some of the details of this obviously will come out as it moves forward. But, you know, India in particular, you know, at least in my travels there, is a real cash-centric country. And, you know, that's changing every day, of course. But this would seem like There are certain countries where you go like, yeah, okay, Norway, sure, that, you know, Sweden, got it. India, okay, that's if you're truly replacing paper notes for the entire country, you know, billions of people, that's a pretty tall order.
Yeah, and it's funny you should say replace paper notes because remember, India did that where they replaced their paper notes and basically said the old paper notes are no longer good after this day. They kind of surprised everyone with this as an effort to combat fraud and stop people who were laundering money or engaging in criminal activity from being able to use the money that they had stored away. So I get where India's head's going, which is like, well, that was really hard to do. What if we did it with digital, though? And I guess reason they're exploring it is they have to take into account what you're saying, Sarah, and figure out how does this hit the smaller areas, the rural areas. Smartphones are penetrating India at a faster rate than ever before, but still not everybody's connected. So, you know, what would be the timeline? How would they roll it out? Would they actually replace paper notes or would they just make them a substitute?
The FIDO Alliance has launched a certification program for biometric systems. The goal is to integrate certified systems into FIDO certified authenticators. FIDO will work with accredited independent labs to test systems for performance and presentation attack detection and certify ones deemed fit for commercial use. The lab, iBeta, in the U.S. has been accredited for testing, and more labs worldwide are expected to be added soon.
Now, remember, FIDO Alliance often is associated with Google because Google is a founding member of it, but it is a nonprofit organization, and it's many companies involved in it, and its goal is to get rid of passwords, to have a secure replacement for passwords. I love this idea of pushing for a standard in a way that not only says, we want a reliable, secure as possible biometric system, but we're going to push the companies like Samsung. Remember, Samsung's iris detection was fooled by a contact lens over a picture. Now, granted, it's probably not as bad of a situation as it sounds like, but it's certainly not something that a government agency or maybe a large enterprise is going to be comfortable with. This kind of standard can push them to say, you have to do better than that if you want to be accepted into this standard, which is becoming more and more attractive to companies, especially enterprises who right now have to certify all this stuff themselves. If they could rely on a standard from FIDO, it would make it easier for them to shop for devices as well.
Look, there is no doubt that these are very, very worthwhile goals to make things more secure. And I think we have moved in that direction on a lot of the commercial devices. The question is going to be exactly where they want to draw the line of this is certification and how easy it is for manufacturers to do it. Because I think we're at that tipping point. We're at the point where I would love a device where I could just be able to totally forget about passwords in a way that I think a lot of people largely have with these newer generation smartphones.
Yeah. And we're not there. I don't think FIDO thinks we're there, but that's the goal. And this is another of the steps along the way. AMD's rolling out its latest processors based on the Zen architecture, including a good old-fashioned Athlon branded chip, which is an accelerated processing unit that combines graphics and processing onto one chip. The AMD Athlon 200GE with the Radeon Vega 3 graphics has two CPU cores and will sell for $55. Yes, you heard me right.
Woo!
The AMD Athlon Pro 200GE chip with two CPU cores and three graphics compute units is targeted at the commercial market, and AMD announced two new Ryzen chips as well, a six-core Ryzen 5 Pro 2600 with two chips and eight cores, and the Ryzen 7 Pro 2700. Oh, I said two. There are three. Also, the Ryzen Pro 2700X. AMD, man, like, you know, at a time where I think a lot of people are thinking that these kind of processors are becoming a mature market and maybe only one company could dominate, they are giving Intel a run for their money.
Well, and you know, I know that the 200GE, which is the Athlon chip that you mentioned first, Tom, I mean, that's a very attractive price, $55. Now, of course, that's definitely consumer market. The rest of them are much more commercial, but yeah, I mean, with prices like that, how can you say no?
You know, I mean, what's interesting, there was a recent report I was reading, I think it was either PC Mag or ZDNet. So the Ryzen, the higher end chips have been doing pretty well, but AMD is still not making gains in the lower end market, which is the commoditized notebooks that, you know, you buy for a student or people mm-hmm. who just need to get on the internet, and they want to take some of that market away from Intel. So they need to refresh the offerings at that level, and this is what they're doing. And if they can make the value proposition of it doesn't need to be the best, you know, 14 or 15 inch, you know, a notebook, it just needs to be better than what's currently available from Intel at a price point where people say, hey, you know what, dollar for dollar, I get the same performance out of this AMD notebook that I would out of this Intel. I'll save myself $80 and I'll buy the AMD.
And Microsoft likes that too, right? Because they can throw Windows S on there and have a cheap laptop to compete with Chromebooks, which is becoming a competitive space as well.
And, you know, competition is good. And we'll, I expect to see more features and ideally a better slate of, you know, nice products at that price point instead of having like, well, you know, this is all the bin chips that we have that didn't really make the cut. So here you go.
Just in time for back to school.
Nielsen has acquired Super Data Research, which creates data estimations for digital games, like how many people bought a game and how many people are using this game and for how many hours a day type stuff, by looking at the behavior of 160 million folks. Nielsen now joins the tracking firm, the NPD Group, which also tracks video games, has been doing it for a long time, since the 90s, actually. In 2016, NPD started including digital sales in its monthly reports. But here's the difference. NPD gets its data directly from video game publishers. Nielsen says it's going to use Super Data to provide its clients with different information about the digital side of games by analyzing consumer behavior instead.
That's
how very Nielsen of them.
Right. Yeah. Nielsen is in such a fascinating place in a world where everything is verifiable, because their brand is effectively, we will give you the best guess we have on an unverifiable audience. And now on the internet, where everything's got a counter on some level, either when you buy it or when you use it, and we're only seeing more and more places where people are opting into tracking literally everything they do, the question is, what you know, what Wither Nielsen and how they change, how they evolve to this marketplace.
I want to fight back a little bit on the perception around Nielsen, though. And granted, I have led the charge of complaining about how, you know, the 5,000 group has its flaws, and Tech TV, you know, had to fight for a decent rating because we had a small audience, et cetera. But Nielsen's pretty good at what they do in general. And yeah,
it's a fairly accurate sample size, even though it's just that. Yeah.
And but one more thing. The one thing I learned really quickly at techtv.com was verifiable stats need interpretation still. And that's what Nielsen is selling, is we're good at telling you what the data means. So we're going to collect all this data and we're going to tell you what soda do these folks like to drink? Where do they pause and watch a cutscene? If you have product placement in a video, what are they looking at? Stuff like that. And that's something I think they might be pretty good at.
That is true. You're right that the data needs to be collated, and you are right that they have been good at what they've done. The problem is that what they have done is an ancient art that I don't know how long that will need to be practiced. And what they are good at, a lot of people are good at, and people are getting better at every day, because that is the basis of all advertising, not some advertising, not targeted advertising, all advertising now. And when all the top companies on the internet are also advertising sellers, then that means that a lot of people are focusing on exactly that.
If Nielsen's smart, and it kind of looks like they are, they're going to be positioning themselves and are positioning themselves as, we were doing big data before there was big data. And we are the people who can tell you what it means.
Mm.
Well, I hope they can help podcast producers find out what their numbers are like, because that's a whole other market that it would be great if Nielsen could tap into.
Mm, too small. Starting mid-September, Tencent will enable a new age verification system linked to China's National Public Security Database for its Honor of King series of video games. The company previously vowed to limit the game to 1 hour a day for children 12 and under, and 2 hours a day for those between 13 and 18. Honor of Kings is a popular multiplayer RPG based on historic Chinese figures, but has been criticized by the government for being too addictive to children.
Yeah, I mean, this goes in line with a lot of other stories we're seeing out of China, where they're trying to cut down on obsessive behaviors, trying to limit access, overdoing it on social networks, and making people register with real names so that they are more responsible with what they post on social networks. So this one doesn't really surprise me.
I don't want to get all snare drum and fife, you know, about this, but it is very scary to me that you are using a state-run database for stuff like this to control this kind of behavior. And I know that this is just an element of Chinese culture. This is an element of what the Chinese government does, but man, does it make me very uneasy. And that's the only thing I can think of when I read something like this.
Well, and just, you know, harking back to my days as a gamer, you know, when I was 11 years old and play a lot of Super Mario Brothers, it's like 1 hour a day, not enough. 2 hours a day, not enough. You know, you're hanging out after school for a few hours, you know, playing with your friends. So I wonder how these time limits have been arrived at and why.
Yeah, Fauxpas says, how will they get good enough to compete in esports if they can only play 2 hours? Well, they'll have to get good at several games. So you can play 2 hours of Honor of Kings, and then you go on to Warcraft. And right.
Well, yeah. Well, no. And then the best esports athletes will be bred amongst each other and kept in specific facilities.
Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. All right, let's talk about humanity. And by humanity, I mean a startup called Hue-Manity, not all of us people. Humanity launched an app for Android and iOS called #My31. It's a little bit of a activist name. They're saying there are 30 human rights recognized by the United Nations, and they think your right to own the data about you on the internet should be the 31st human right. So hence the name My31. My31, the app, lets people control their medical data and share it with contractual enforcement handled by IBM's Hyperledger Fabric blockchain. So in other words, while HIPAA protects your data from being shared without your knowledge, it doesn't have all the protections you have if you have total legal control. The app here will let users set the terms for data. For instance, in the US, medical data can be sold if it's anonymized. My31 could let you have more control over that and say, approve your data to be used in an anonymous fashion by one company, but not by another. Or maybe just for one or two trials, but not forever without you getting further approval. The company is going to use rewards like frameable titles to your data to encourage people to sign up, Kickstarter-ish kind of rewards. And if it gets to 1 million users, it believes it can negotiate deals with data brokers and pharmaceutical companies. They say that the companies are already interested because they will be able to provide higher quality data. If you're saying, yes, you can give this data, then it's verifiable, it's updatable, and potentially it's a higher quality of data because people are opting in to giving it. And you as a consumer get to decide how your medical data is used. And of course, humanity would like to do this for other kinds of data down the road. They're starting with medical data to begin with because they think that's something everybody can understand wanting to have control over.
I think this is a great idea. The battle for our data and the digital trail that we leave only becomes more valuable. And the question is how much of that trail we really own, specifically as we carve further and further into our own lives with biometric tracking. I think from even the earliest days of this show and its previous incarnations, as fitness trackers became important, the question was never, is this good data? The question was always, what does it do well for me? This is another thing that Nielsen should get into, Tom. Talk about what this data means. If we start there and then we continue to go forward exponentially, as all these devices become cleared by the FDA, we are able to tell more and more and get answers faster and faster to our health woes, then yes, 150%. Absolutely, we need to rethink what it means to have this data protected, not only by HIPAA laws, but I also think with this, we need to fight for this protection because otherwise it will just go out into the ether.
I don't know a lot about humanity, the company. I actually don't know that much about humanity, the species either, but I don't know a lot about this startup. It is, on the one hand, concerning to me to have a private company, a profit-motivated company pushing this because, well, how are they going to, yes, they can make their money off of selling you control, but there's always going to be a temptation to make that control a little less strict because it can make them more money. Open source projects like MIT's Solid, which has Tim Berners-Lee on board, are more appealing to me because they're independent. They're like the FIDO Alliance, where they are trying to be an open standard, but I hesitate to criticize this because I like the ideas behind it. And the more of these kinds of efforts that get underway, the better, because it's only by having several of them try that we're going to have some of them catch and start working. And we really need this. We need a new system that lets us control our data.
Yeah, as somebody who's, had a variety of medical issues, as have we all over the years, and been, spent countless hours trying to figure out things with insurance companies and, who knows what and what doctor can talk to this doctor and specialists. And, it's a mess to the point that I have never felt like I was in control of my own data. That was something that I just sort of had to ask other people to hopefully do. And, let's see how far we can go, right? Before somebody says no, where I get denied for coverage. So I love the idea of this. But yes, Tom, you're right. It's a private company. And if I have the option to say, this company, no, but this company, yes, I actually want my medical records. Okay, well, then is that company going to be, even if I feel comfortable at that moment, is that going to be, the right situation for me as somebody who doesn't really understand the nuances of a lot of healthcare stuff that goes on behind the scenes?
it's a lot like
it's complicated.
It's a lot like choosing a VPN to me, which is, you know, I want to choose a VPN to protect my data from being seen by others on the network, but I have to trust the VPN company because they're going to see all my data on the network, you know.
Right.
Obviously, you can encrypt it and all that.
Let me also dig it another two steps forward. The more we own our health data, the more we can monetize our own health data.
Oh, right? There's a whole thing about DNA and personal DNA there. Absolutely. Yeah.
So now if we are looking at companies for which we sign over our rights for 1.5 million different reasons, we share it with servers that, you know, provide devices and services and stuff like that, that they can then anonymize and sell out. What's to say that we can't use our own? If through a database, we could register ourselves with a database and say, with a tap of a button, I can provide from my house to, with no visit to a doctor, data that could advance a trial further than it would have in, at any other time because I own it and I have it available to me. That's a huge thing. But
then who's facilitating you sharing that data?
Probably companies like Humanity.
Well, I mean, that's one option, sure.
Yeah. And that's the question that Sarah and I are asking is like, okay, maybe Humanity I trust. Maybe, you know, they're a trustworthy VPN type provider. We're going to need more of these before we can really, you know, vet that. And there will be ways to vet that. And that's great. But I like where you're going with that, Justin, which is, you know, it levels the playing field quite a bit. And just your personal information becomes a monetization point for every single individual. I've heard a lot of people talking about DNA in that vein. I hadn't even thought about it as just, you know, general health data records. Before we move off of this, I want to ask, what do you guys think of the idea, the sort of higher level idea that owning your data should be considered a human right?
I think that is correct.
Yeah,
I can't imagine a world where I'd say no, it's not my right to own my own data, especially if it's medical data. I mean, if anybody, one person should have that information, it should be me.
Yeah. I think that it's important that we recognize the people that put together the services and devices that allow us to track this. But that being said, we should, you know, now that we are more sophisticated on these grounds, I am for drawing a more conservative line and encouraging behavior that puts my data in my hands more and more, both with health and literally everything else. Like, I think we are getting to a point now where culture has shifted enough that that is, to me, the obvious trend line as we go forward.
Yeah. It's a tough one. Too many human rights and you have a problem, right? Generally, that's never been a problem in the history of humanity, but I can conceive of a way that it could be. I sort of have the gut feeling that Sarah has, which is like, yeah, it's my data. I should have a right to it. But the difference between a human right and a law is every single culture and nation on earth must respect this versus, well, some cultures may not value personal data as much as others. And I'll be honest, I don't know where I come down on that. My guts comes down where Sarah does, but I don't know if maybe there is an exception out there.
I will quickly add for my sake, it depends on the context. If you have some sort of virulent disease that is highly contagious and possibly a high risk, you know, to the greater community. I mean, it's, for example, does owning your data mean no one else gets it without your express permission? Or are there avenues where health officials can say, hey, you know what, you have so-and-so, we're going to just notify people around you that you have that and they shouldn't be within 5 feet.
I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
there are exceptions. Yeah, absolutely. And those exceptions and those are exceptions that are already in place with things like HIPAA, where you may not release the name of the person, but you quarantine them and everything. I don't think that's so hard to solve. Well, it's a great point.
We have our ways of getting around stuff like that. And if there is national or local databases for which would benefit from it knowing whether or not you are in a situation that could endanger others, then you can tie it to your ability to get a driver's license or other state or local things. Like, you know, there's ways that we have a tendency to kind of force people into those boxes.
Healthcare. The topic continues. If any topic never ends, it's healthcare. Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. Sometimes there's healthcare topics there. Tech topics, for sure. You guys are the best, guys and gals. Submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. We're also on Facebook. Hang out with us there, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
And all your feedback goes into the mailbag, and then we pull some out and read it.
True story, Tom. Larry, aka the Geeky Trucker, writes, just my opinion, thinking about the Apple invitation obsession over that circle. What okay. Larry is referring to is now I can't remember it because
it was the media invite that Apple sent out had a circle on it.
But
yeah.
And the tagline was
see around. I can't remember.
Sorry. Yeah. There've been so many, you know, you never know with Apple announcements.
The whole thing is about the circle. I'll find out.
Yeah. Larry says, I think they're going to have a round watch. Haven't heard anything in the rumors. Just
gather.
Gather round. Yes, that's right. I should have wrote that in my notes. I kind of assumed that too, Larry. I think you're on the right track. I don't have any inside information either, but I assumed the roundness was not going to be a round phone, although I made a joke about that when Apple first made their announcement. Right. But a round watch, I would wear a round watch more than a square watch. It's just sort of it's a watch I would prefer to wear.
And then Nth Mike in the Slack pointed out the following. Yesterday's episode was number 3361, which is the 1,222nd episode of the DTNS era. The Buzz Out Loud era was 1,228 episodes. The DTNS era will reach that point next Thursday, which means that as of next Friday's episode, the DTNS era will be the longest of the three eras of Tom Does Tech News Podcasting.
Yes. So TNT was in there, right?
Somewhere? Yeah, TNT ran for less time than Buzz Out Loud, though. So
I see. Okay. All right. Well, how about that? We've won.
With me on it, I should say. Not, yeah.
Tom, you've outdone yourself.
Finally. Hey, third and hopefully last time. Right,
yeah. Let's just stop here. We've got a good thing. We've arrived. Thanks to Justin Robert Young for helping us arrive every Thursday, sometimes Monday, sometimes other days. Justin, what's been going on since we talked to you last?
Oh, you know, it's been a pretty wild week in the world of politics, which is why if you listened to me previously when I told you to get on this free political newsletter, then, you know, you were very happy. If you didn't, well, boy, if you found yourself frowning this week, that's why. You congratulations, you played yourself. Head on over there right now, freepoliticalnewsletter.com. And I'm going to give a plug to my politics podcast, Politics, which you can sign up for the Patreon at takepoliticsseriously.com. If you are one of our $3 a week patrons, then you will have gotten not one, not two, not three, not four, but as of tomorrow, five podcasts this week because the news has been so plentiful. Do yourself a favor. Head on over there. TakePoliticsSeriously.com.
Excellent. Thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon. There's lots of great perks, including an excellent column from Sarah Lane today with a bonus picture of Sam the cat and Otis the dog. You got to find it at patreon.com/DTNS. And also, once again, big thanks to John Schmerald of Katie Computer Systems right here in Chesterfield, Missouri at katiecomputer.com for setting me up with great bandwidth and a fantastic space to do the show. Don't forget tomorrow, Friday, September 7th, I'll be in Greenville, Illinois, my hometown. We have a meetup from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Family Vine Winery, 1349 Red Ball Trail, right there in Greenville.
In the meantime, give us feedback. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. If you can join us live, we'd love to have you Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Dr. Kiki joins us tomorrow. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Good show.
Nicely done, everybody.
Yeah. Tom on the road.
Worked for 2 days.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. It's Thursday, isn't it?
Oh, yep.
Holiday weeks. I never know. I'm like, what day is it? What do I do?
How do they work?
Yeah. Holidays.
How do they work?
How do they stick together like that?
The humanity has been suggested. I know. What else do we have on the old title realm there? Roger's busy publishing the show today. So
all right, let me look at old showbots. Okay. Oh, the humanity. Very Nielsen. iPhone XS Max price. Well, we didn't really talk about price.
That's funny though. Yeah, I wish we would have said that.
I don't know. I mean, if that's really what it's called, I have thoughts.
It can't be right. Like I would be surprised.
If it was Max, XS Max?
Yeah.
Why?
XS, I guess I can understand because it fits into nomenclatures previous.
iPhone 10, yeah.
iPhone 10. And
they'll call it 10S, not XS.
Max, though, such a
supermarket.
90s. like, I, you know.
It's, I don't know. Been waiting a long time for the iPad to be called Max.
Roger, do you want me to stop this recording?
Yes, please.
And the file that I recorded of the show is still uploading into Dropbox. I'll let you know when it's cool. Done.
And it's Testa? No, not Testa.
It's DTNS2018.0906.wav.
Got it. I'll wait till it's up. Thanks, Justin.
All right. It is up, and it should be 369.4 megabytes.
Am I throwing that right into Slack, right?
Sure. Was like, take it.
I don't know. We're going to find out.
I still want to do, I still have my goal of doing an Elvis themed tech support service.
Did we have any other names?
Is that me?
iPhone XS. As of right now, the humanity.
In humanity we trust.
How very Nielsen.
Feels like a sitcom. Nielsen gamers.
The humanity. Is it too soon?
From what?
The Hindenburg.
Well, since it didn't happen in my lifetime, I would say no. It's okay. Not too soon. Which would be very generous.
I made a joke about FDR that got a groan at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody had mentioned podcast being like the fireside chats. That was my favorite part of the fireside chats was when FDR stopped and plugged a foam mattress. and that got a laugh, not leaving well enough alone. I then tagged on use promo code wheels. got a groan, and I guess I found out still too soon. Can't joke
about the Navy, man.
Folio.
Yeah, because I don't know, for some reason I'm like, the humanity. It's like,
well, you want to know what though? Here's why I think it's fine. There is a inflatable slide that is always by where you buy Christmas trees. In Emeryville, is the crashing Hindenburg.
Oh, that's awful.
So if there's an inflatable slide. No, it's for kids. People bring their kids to slide down the Hindenburg. It's ironic. This isn't. Maybe it was some Burning Man thing that they decided to repurpose into kids entertainment. But I think Oh the Humanity is fine.
All right. That's what we'll go with. Roger. You're muted, Roger, in case you didn't realize.
Oh the mute.
Sarah
Oh the mute manity. Yeah, Sarah froze up. I don't know what happened there.
Oh, but she looks very genial.
Yes, she does.
It is a great freeze frame.
Ah, we're old people.
Oh, I think she might be coming back.
Making references to things long since.
Jay Giles Band, 45. I purchased about 60 miles east of here.
Only bought LPs. I never bought the little. Never bought the little.
I used to buy 45s all the time.
Oh, thanks, Scott Harris. This
one. I will not be in Springfield, nor does Mr. Burns live there. Strike it rich. But that said, I appreciate the expectation.
Still leather lady. Come on.
But you got the wave?
360,779 kb.
Well, that's a lot of kb. I have 369.4 megabytes, but as long as you have the whole show there, that's really all that matters.
Yes, I listened to the
cool.
Oh wait, I gotta open this up in Audition.
People are having fun with Hindenburg conspiracy theories in the chat room that I won't repeat, but they're pretty hilarious.
Ah, conspiracies.
The burning point of helium, hydrogen, you go from there.
Well, you know, that was the other thing. It's like, was it really the hydrogen, or was that just an accessory to the culprit of the, not dope, but the, whatever they soak the fabric in order to make it taut.
So what's the over under? Well, I don't know how you do an over under on Max, but what do you, I kind of want to put some money on Max. I think it's possible.
On how many Max?
No, the name.
On Apple using the name Max in one of the products.
Oh, okay. Well, no, that would be a prop of yes, no.
Right.
Considering the rumors, it would probably be the favorite. I don't know. That'd be a good Missoula favorite on what to do it. But it'd probably be like a plus 150 or something like that.
Okay. All right.
Lay 150 to win 100.
Can you use a stake bet with a prop?
Ken, yeah. No. So a stake bet. So yeah, any kind of proposition is, will this happen? Yes or no?
Yeah. And I get a bigger stake than you do.
If we were to use those odds, right? Sarah's back.
Oh,
Sarah's
back. Yeah. Hi. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's all right. My we picked out the humanity.
Crazy. Okay. Did you, I'm sorry to interrupt if we were talking about something very important.
No, we weren't.
The woman who played Marianne on Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
That's right.
She didn't, no, but she...
Don't be so eager.
But she has a GoFundMe that a friend of mine sent to me. I don't know why. I'm like, I've never even watched Gilligan's Island, so... I know, I just haven't. I've never seen the show.
Don't add her.
But she yes. But she has a GoFundMe that's apparently about raising money for medical fees, but it's to pay off the IRS... I'm gonna say I'll put it in Slack. It's strange. As I was restarting just now, I'm like, what is happening here? I don't know, Marianne. I wish you the best, but I've never seen the show, so I don't even know if you're a good actress.
Oh Jesus!
Oh man, that's a burn.
I don't. I've never seen the show.
Fine. It is.
I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying I don't know if you're good or not.
Yeah. You know, when did I don't know mean I'm really secretly accusing you of something? Well, like that, right. that definitely has happened.
Because I think the issue is the order of operations there. I was unfamiliar with your career, so I don't know if you're a good actress, but rest in peace.
She's not dead. She is alive. She's raising money to pay the tax man.
Not after she hears
for some reason.
Oh, then never mind. Oh, I thought she was dead. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, she's not dead.
No, she just needs $110,000.
Not at that level.
It's just I don't know about the rest of you, but I get sucked into GoFundMes for animals all the time.
Oh God, man. I've given like people that I barely know, like
people I have never met and will never met.
Yeah.
You know, I gave their dog $100 for exactly. his broken leg type thing. And you know, I feel good about that. But there are a lot of fundraisers, and I'm sure they're all in the best interests of everybody. And I hope everyone reaches their goal. I just thought you'd all like to know what Marianne is up to.
Marianne. Well, maybe she wasn't there a rich guy? Who was the rich guy?
Thurston Howell.
Thurston Howell the third.
With his wife.
Yeah.
There was no hanky panky on that island.
Wait, was Thurston, is that the actor's name or the
character's name?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
This is fascinating that you don't know Gilligan's Island.
I don't.
It's like if I told someone about Three's Company and they went like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
I know Three's, like I've seen every episode of Three's Company.
But like Justin, do you know Three's Company?
I will say I probably saw more Gilligan's Island than I did Three's Company, but only I don't know if I ever sat through an entire episode of Gilligan's Island. Like I think that it was just one of those syndication shows that was just on TV back in an era before you could just do whatever you wanted and literally you were beholden to whatever was on the television.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm sure as a kid, I would have liked it. I'm aware that most kids are like, really? You've never seen Gilligan's Island? I'm like, I know the premise. They're on an island or whatever. But no, I've never seen the show because it was a primetime show and I was too young or I wasn't alive or I don't even know when that show was on originally. But all of those kind of, you know, throwback, you know, classic rock shows, that's all stuff that I watched when I was being babysat after school before my mom picked me up.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
so totally. It's like between, you know, 1:30 p.m. and 5 p.m., like whatever's on, I'm watching it. So Bewitched, you know, G.I. Joe.
I love Lucy.
Exactly.
You repped in G.I. Joe with prime time. That wasn't.
No,
it's after school reruns.
After school reruns.
Did you watch Flipper?
No. Never seen Flipper. But I've seen a lot of I Love Lucy, and that's got to be the oldest one of them all. I was mentioning to a friend, we were talking about this morning. I was like, you know, I didn't like Hogan's Heroes. I just did not like that show. And he was like, what? I mean, how old are you? And I'm like, no, I wasn't watching Hogan's Heroes when it was originally running. I'm talking about after school, like you're sitting on the floor of your babysitter's house. So you watch like, what they give you.
There's He-Man and G.I. Joe, but there's also Thundercats. One Day at a Time and Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I would say Hogan's Heroes was never on there. Flipper was on a lot because it was a South Florida based show, and I think it just
we didn't have Flipper much ourselves. No. Yeah. Well, we're going to reminisce about a few more of these TV shows on the audio stream. So if you're listening, stick around. If you're a video folk, start talking to your friends about your favorite TV shows, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. But you were saying, Justin?
The ones that me and my brother really devoured were the I Love Lucy's, but it was more Nick at Night.
Oh, interesting.
That's really where we got our classic TV in. So that's where the Dick Van Dykes and F Troop and I Love Lucy and stuff like that. Like those were all Nick at Night shows that we used to just devour.
See, that's, and I never had that because that's cable. Like I didn't have cable until I was older than the point that I would watch the stuff after school. By that point, I was very mature and watching Days of Our Lives.
Of course.
But of course, you know, it's how I learned everything about adulthood. But it was like, I don't know why they stacked a lot of these shows the way that they did. Because it really would be like, I Dream of Jeannie. G.I. Joe, Transformers, and then Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
Half an hour.
Because it would be the mom. Some
good happens again.
Because I guess the thinking was there would be the stay-at-home mom who would watch the last show before the kids came home, which would be around 3:30 or 4.
Right, yeah.
You would have those cartoons.
Yeah.
To shut them up when they came.
Yeah.
I feel like Channel 11 was the one that had all of the Gilligan's Island, Brady Bunch type stuff, and that the major network affiliates were the ones with the cartoons.
Ours, I
or
feel
maybe
like,
Channel 30.
I feel like ours was Channel 2, which was always the Fox affiliate. Although the Fox affiliate back in the early 80s was different than it is now.
Well, that would happen here too. I was reminded of that. I saw a billboard for Channel 2 Fox. And when I was growing up, Channel 2 was ABC and Channel 30 became Fox when Fox came around.
Yeah.
And then at some point they flipped.
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, I love Lucy. I still do. If I come across that show, I'm like, it's sort of the way I feel about Golden Girls. I'm going to watch the rest of the episodes. Not going to switch away from that show.
I'll tell you what. Golden Girls as a concept, maybe one of the few shows that I think you could relaunch today and it would feel fresh. Like, not talking about like rebooting it, but if you were just to be like, oh, it's a show centered around a retirement community with like, you know, these very, you know, active, expressive women and like,
right,
sex in your 80s or, you know, 60s, 70s and 80s was going to be a discussion. Like that's something that I think still feels like it would be like, oh, it's like kind of fun and kind of transgressive, but still about friendship and female companionship. Like,
well, and I always found it sort of fascinating that I don't know exactly. I should look it up. What year Golden Girls launched, right? But it was, you know, it's young kids love Golden Girls because, well, former young kids who watch Golden Girls as kids love them today. That's, you know, I'm part of that. But why? Why did we like it? It's not really like hanging out with grandma because it's all sort of like single ladies talking about stuff that you don't really get.
But that's the whole point. I mean, the show was designed to cast women or senior women in a non-traditional stereotypical role. That means they were single. They were talking about sex and other raunchy things that, you know, you thought would die after you got married. And the idea was that you would have this sitcom of older women acting out in very outlandish ways that was very out of character, which was the, you know, if you think back to the old Wendy's commercial, you would have kind of the old, you know, doting.
Yeah. Like, senior. I think it's unusual that it would have been so beloved to children. The first episode aired in 1985, but it's like, okay, Designing Women, right? Remember that show?
Oh, I mean, love that show.
I didn't. I was like, I don't know.
Delta Burke.
Yeah, Delta Burke, exactly. And all the other ones. They're all wonderful. But it was like, that was the sort of show. I'm like, I don't know. I don't get the, it's, you know, this, like, it's like out of my age group. It doesn't make any sense. But Golden Girls was funny.
Well, Golden Girls, I mean, was written well, but it was also another segment of the population that was often overlooked in the same way that kids were, right? Kids were background characters and that's seniors true. Were yeah. background characters. The only time you brought in a senior or a kid on a sitcom was as a plot device to explain away, oh, grandma died. And then you would have the special episode of explaining, you know, to the various members of what, you know, what happens when someone passes away. And then you would have the kind of some of the misunderstanding that makes up the comedic aspect. But you never had a show focused solely on seniors because they were deemed to not be hip enough or interesting enough for the television audience in general to be interested in.
Mm. Also, that's a good theme song.
Yeah, the theme song and the fact that they were friends. I think mm-hmm. Roger's onto something about the cognitive dissonance of like, my grandma doesn't talk like that, you know, that,
right.
that younger kids.
I
vividly remember. Oh, go ahead, Roger.
Oh, no, I was just mentioning, like, so I watched this show, the Teen Titans Go, which is like a the third iteration of the Teen Titans cartoon based on the DC comic book. But one of the funny aspects is that one of the characters manages to conjure up the Golden Girls, you know, as part of his like Green Lantern power ring to fight for him. And it was very interesting that meme that people, you know, who write the show generally would probably be my age, but they could insert it into a show that was meant for kids and still have it in a way be meaningful, because it's still just three old ladies. If you've never watched a show and you're a kid, you're watching, you see basically three old ladies beat up a bunch of bad guys. And so I think there's a comedic aspect to all of that, because it was so odd. Think of another show, sitcom or otherwise, where you had seniors be the main protagonist of the show, not just like the person you talk to when you had troubles.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, who's the boss, right?
Who's the senior Matt?
Judith Light's mom, Mona. I don't remember the actress. But she was sort of comic relief. She wasn't really.
Yeah, like Tony Danza, his daughter, and Angela. Was it Angela?
Angela, yes.
Were the main parts. And Mona was kind of like, oh, there comes the laugh track.
Exactly. And she wasn't even in every episode.
By the way, the show dealt with many controversial issues, including coming out, same-sex marriage, elder care, homelessness, AIDS, discrimination against people with AIDS, immigration policy, death, and assisted suicide.
You're talking about Golden Girls.
Golden Girls.
Okay, yeah. So this is, I was going to mention before, I remember vividly, there's an episode where Rose Nyland, you know, who's supposed to be like, I'm not that bright, right? You know, from St. Olaf. She like has a friend, somebody has a friend staying in the house, and for whatever reason, she bunks with Rose in Rose's room. And the woman is gay. And she says to Rose,
oh, I remember this episode.
They're like kind of laying in bed, and she's like, Rose, you know, I'd really like you. And Rose is like, oh, I like you too. Okay, let's go to bed. You know, and she's like, no, I'm very fond of you. And she's sort of, you know, they're in bed, and you see Rose, and you know, Rose is sort of like, she likes, is like, and like pretends that she's snoring because she's like, oh, I know what's going on and I don't want to deal with this. But I remember even as a kid, I was like, oh my gosh. Wow. I mean, I knew what they were talking about, but it was pretty racy.
Yeah.
For me.
For the time.
Yeah. For my age.
How has that not been rebooted in a world of constant reboot?
Right.
How has the idea of,
I mean, Betty White is still with us. Maybe she could be.
Betty White would cash that check. I think she's three Golden Girl knockoff shows.
One day at a time, they rebooted without any of the original cast. They just did a new concept. So they could do that with Betty White as a guest character, right?
I mean, or she could be Sophia Perillo.
Exactly. She would be the Estelle Getty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, folks, I got to hit the road and get myself over to Illinois here and get some
pizza.
Are you
excited? When's the last time you were in Greenville?
Well, it was a couple of years ago for my nephew's graduation. So
that's fun.
I'm going to get some Mario's pizza, have some whiskey with my sister in the Long Branch Saloon, which is what they call a little bar in their house on the farm. It's going to be a lovely evening.
Oh, that sounds really great.
Yeah. Down red. And because it's illegal,
it won't take long. Thanks everybody for supporting us on Patreon. We hope you enjoy a good day internet as much as we enjoy doing it. Have a lovely day. I hope it's a good day.
Good day internet.
Good day.